This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming up on DTNS, how the pandemic fixed shopping locally online, Lenovo's foldable tablet laptop, and a jetpack for medics. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the forests of Finland, I'm Patrick Beja.
And on the show's producer, Roger Chang.
We were just talking about watermelon and Kit Kats and French fries and peace in our time on Good Day Internet. You can get that wider conversation by becoming a member at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Microsoft Bing search app will appear as a download prompt on new Android phones in Germany, the UK, and France after Bing won slots for 13 countries in a Google auction for the search engine choice screen on Android. Info.com will appear in 31 countries, Privacy Wall in 22, GMX in 16, and DuckDuckGo in 8 countries.
Microsoft announced that EA Play will be available at no additional cost to subscribers of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate starting November 10 on Xbox. It will come to PC sometime in December.
Xiaomi announced a number of new products coming to India. Among them are the Mi Watch Revolve, which promises a week of battery life. That's coming October 6th for 9,999 rupees, though the price goes up to 10,999 after Diwali. The Mi Smart Band 5 with 50 meter water resistance and a 2 week battery life, coming October 1st for 2,499 rupees. There's also the Mi Athleisure Shoes for 1,499 rupees. That's only about $20 US. The Mi Automatic Soap Dispenser for 999 rupees. And a Mi Smart Speaker with Google Assistant coming October 1st for 3,499 rupees. And finally, a Mi Smart LED Bulb available now in India for 499 rupees.
Nokia has reached an agreement with the UK's BT to provide base stations and antennas for its EE5G networks. Nokia will also replace Huawei equipment in BT's 2G and 4G networks. And Nokia will develop an Open RAN ecosystem for BT so that suppliers can be switched by software without having to change underlying equipment.
Google Meet for Android and iOS got noise cancellation. Meet can filter out all kinds of noises, including typing, construction, and door noises. Google Meet also added attendance reports for educators.
Reuters sources say the EU will approve Google's purchase of Fitbit. Sounds like we'll wait for the confirmation, but it looks good. Google did say it will restrict the use of Fitbit data for Google ads and promises to continue to let Fitbit users connect to third-party services.
Disney Plus launched Group Watch for up to 7 friends and family to watch movies and TV together while in different locations. Everybody has to have a Disney Plus account, but otherwise you can be in a group together. Group Watch was previously tested in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, today launching for viewers in the United States. Group Watch doesn't require users to install a browser extension and will work on any device.
D-Wave launched a cloud quantum computing service called Advantage that lets customers access more than 5 1,000 qubits. Advantage iOS, designed for commercial applications at scale, is designed for commercial applications at scale. Its hybrid solver service can handle problems with up to 1 million variables.
All right, let's talk about saving local businesses with online shopping, shall we?
Let's do it. Protocol is doing an in-depth look at small businesses to find out what technology they're using to get through the pandemic. Hit small businesses particularly hard all over the world. The most common option and the biggest beneficiary is Amazon. You have to pay them for storage, share a cut of the sale, and risk disappearing into the depths of the algorithm for a number of factors, not all of which are intentional, but it has a huge upside in the amount that you can sell and the ease of operations. However, e-commerce doesn't have to be a national play. Stores may not fully return to in-person shopping after the pandemic subsides. You know, things are changing around here. Shopify has seen a surge in signups for local businesses who wish to stay local. Shopify has added new features like a point of sale system designed for curbside pickup, a delivery and Shopify Shop app for customers to discover local stores. Another new trend is dark stores. That's brand stores without a consumer location. So products are stored locally and delivered by a company like DoorDash. Darkstore.com launched an app called Fast AF. You probably understand what that means, to enable two-hour delivery windows. Examples are big brands like Nike, local brands like Los Angeles's Comparte's Chocolates. One effort not in the protocol article is from Brett Rounceville, he's a friend of the show, and other friends who put together KeepOaklandAlive.com to connect local shops in Oakland with consumers, basically saying, if you live here, buy stuff from your local merchants. They need your help. And some services are helping restaurants specifically. Upserve Point of Sale had to remind restaurants that they could turn on its online ordering functions and offered to help and fee credits to do so. Square, Toast, along with Upserve, offer QR code setups for menus and ordering even in store. Use of contactless payment in general has jumped 40% over last year. Protocol is publishing more stories in what it calls its Small Business Recovery Manual with 12 parts planned for the week.
Yeah, they've got four or five out already. And if you're a small business, I highly recommend looking at this. There's a lot of good resources in there. But when Brett contacted me about Keep Oakland Alive, he described it as, we want to make it as easy and convenient as Amazon to shop at your local merchants. And it seems like he's not alone, that there are a lot of people building that, because suddenly local merchants couldn't say, like, well, we get enough foot traffic, why do we need to go online? They had to go online. And Shopify has been the biggest beneficiary of that. But it seems like from this protocol article, we're going to see this stick. And now suddenly you're going to have a lot more options to buy, including locally buy, without these local businesses, like you said, Sarah, having to have a national plan. It always felt like, well, if I'm going online, right, I should be worldwide, right? Well, no, you don't need to.
You know, one of the fun things about Keep Oakland, well, I don't know if it's fun, but Keep Oakland Alive, which is really cool and well done, by the way. Good kudos to Brett and his team. But if you do not live in Oakland, if you do not have the right zip code, you can't buy stuff from there. Because I was perusing and I was like, oh, like there are some like local merchants that I've never heard of before. Like maybe I'll like buy a sweatshirt or, you know, something. I can't because I don't live there. And the whole idea is, all right, let's get back on the ground with a lot of, you know, the idea of these sort of nameless, faceless companies where you can get everything, the Amazons of the world. I mean, we're all very used to that now. But what about, you know, the merchant right around the corner from you? Yeah. And the fact that they're having a hard time, and the fact that you live there and you are their customer. You're supposed to be their customer anyway. And the idea of, okay, well, if you like this, find something like this in your physical neighborhood and buy from them.
How long until Amazon allows you to shop locally in one section of the store? I think it might happen.
I was going to say, that sounds like something you can already do. But here's the thing. If I know I want to shop, say, in Oakland, if I live in Oakland, I know where to go. If I'm on Amazon, it's going to be harder to make that work. I'm not saying Amazon won't be able to make that work, but it's going to be harder to make it front and center. And a lot of people want to shop local because they want to subvert the big tech like Amazon, right? So the reason Keep Oakland Alive only ships to Oakland addresses, they're providing free delivery, free same-day delivery, right? They're trying to be as convenient as Amazon. And they can do that if you're like, oh, all of our orders are in the same town as the shops that are fulfilling them.
Well, natural disasters are becoming more frequent, and one of the biggest problems with disaster response is getting power. Nissan adapted its Leaf car for a working concept vehicle called the ReLeaf. Once on the scene, responders can use the Leaf as a mobile power supply with waterproof 110 and 220 volt sockets mounted on the exterior. In another emergency response development, the Great North Air Ambulance Service in the UK has carried out a test flight of a jet suit for medics. It can fly a person in 90 seconds to the top of a hill that would take 30 minutes on foot. The suits have three engines, one on each arm and one on the back.
Yeah, Roger was saying he's been following Richard Browning of Gravity Industries, who made the jetpack that they're using for the Great North Air Ambulance Service for a while. And these are really cool, and they work. And they're in service of something very important here, which is like getting help to people fast. I mean, you can only carry a small amount of medical equipment, but it could be just enough to help get someone to safety or defibrillator to keep them alive while you figure out how to get them out of wherever they are.
Yeah, I mean, 90 seconds, 30 minutes, that's big. Yeah. That's a big difference. I'd love to try one of these out. someone please let me. It sounds so fun. But yeah, the ReLeaf working as a way for first responders to be able to charge up stuff, because of course everybody's got to have electronics. You know, this is how you're communicating with whoever else you're working with, you know, back home, back at the base. Also very cool.
Yeah,
definitely something that I think we'll get. I mean, the jetpack is really fun and gets a lot of publicity. I'm sure it's very useful in some specific cases. It feels like the ReLeaf is a thing that would be adapted to other vehicles and that could be used like all the time in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. The Great North Air Ambulance Service is in a very rocky, hilly area. And so they want to get up to these flat tops at the top of hills. And so that makes sense that it would work there. But, you know, in Kansas, maybe it's not as useful. But a Leaf, like you say, that's practical. It's not as flashy, but it could be used anywhere. Amazon unveiled a new biometric technology called Amazon One that lets shoppers pay at stores by scanning the palm of their hand. Either when they walk in the door or when they check out. You can use it as a point of sale. You could use it as authentication in an Amazon Go store, for example. To sign up for the option, you go and scan your palm and then insert your payment card at a terminal in a store. From then on, you just need to hold your palm above a scanner to authenticate that it's you. And here's the thing. You do not have to link it to an Amazon account to use it. You're associating your palm with your payment method. If you want to link it to your Amazon account because you're shopping in an Amazon store and that's helpful, you can, but it's not required. It can be used to check you into a place like an Amazon Go store where you walk in and then it just tracks you and automatically charges you when you walk out. Or grocery stores could buy it for point of sale so that you just use it when you walk out to pay for your items. The feature will be installed first at the entrance of two of Amazon's Go stores in Seattle and will eventually roll out to Amazon's 20 Go stores, as well as possibly Whole Foods locations. They didn't say that for sure. Amazon does say they want to sell the technology to other stores that they don't own. Amazon says it will know when a customer uses the option at those third-party stores, but that's it. They're not going to collect data on what you buy, how much you spend. They will know that it was used because they want to have that kind of compiled usage data, but that's it. Amazon might also implement it as a replacement for ID cards at office buildings or tickets at stadiums. You associate your ticket with your hand, and then you just scan your way into the event.
And the friction, well, frictionless, I mean, friction, fewer friction than what that, you know, me rummaging through my purse and trying to find my ATM card and that sort of thing. I mean, this is besides just being like, ooh, cool, biometric, scan our palms, this is just going to get more people through the... And that makes a lot of sense. I shop at Whole Foods pretty often, obviously Amazon owned. I don't know what other companies would buy this technology from Amazon, but this seems like it's just the inevitable future.
I mean, the technology is really cool. The idea that you don't need anything other than yourself to authenticate or pay is cool as a concept. Now, when you pair it with Amazon, I know they're saying, you know, you don't have to link it to anything. You don't, we won't know anything. And I'm sure, you know, that's how it's supposed to work. But it's still a little bit scary for a number of reasons. What's really interesting to me is that these kinds of things, it feels like they should have been developed by companies like, you know, credit card companies, Visa, MasterCard, all of these. And I don't think they couldn't, or maybe the technology is complex, but I don't think they couldn't. I wonder if they are just thinking, you know, that's a privacy minefield. We don't really want to go there. And Amazon, with, you know, like the other big internet companies, are like, whatever, let's just do it. We'll see what happens. Worst case, we get scolded. Let's, you know, we should, maybe there, it feels like they're being a little bit more brazen about this, because it's weird that Amazon is getting there and not companies that are closer to that kind of use.
Okay, you were not alone in this ick factor with Amazon being the one to do this. But what is different is the palm print. So there's no difference in the data that could be collected than if you were using any other kind of payment system, right? The only thing that's different is the palm print. So is it the fact that they are keeping a palm print signature on file that is what bugs you? Because There's otherwise no difference than using a credit card.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the issue. The fact that any biometric identifier is part of yourself and you can't change it, you can't get rid of it. Whereas a credit card, maybe it's not as easy as that, but you have the illusion that you can always, you know, throw away your credit card and it won't be associated with you somehow magically. You know, it's just may be a little bit irrational, but it's still a real feeling.
Yeah, because I mean, I think there's some security questions that Amazon is answering, and we're not covering them here, about like, okay, how accurate is this? How secure are you keeping the storage? Are they unique? Apparently, palm prints are even unique amongst twins, so they're very unique. The security is apparently well regarded by independent auditors here. So if that all bears out, I don't really have a problem with this any more than I have a problem with Face ID or Touch ID.
Oh, that's exactly the same thing. Yes, it's the same problem. Palm print, fingerprint, iris, ear shape, all of these are the same. It's part of you. That's why.
Yeah, I think it is an emotional reaction rather than a necessarily a logical one, personally.
I think it's part emotional, but it's also logical that that part of you is not interchangeable. Right. It's not an accessory.
Sure. Which is a security issue. Like, oh, wait, if my palm print gets stolen, now I can't change it. I agree with. That's a problem with any biometric. I don't know that it's a privacy issue because you're already relating it to yourself, even if you didn't use your palm.
Well,
you might have an emotional reaction to this next story. It's always nice when something announced at CES happens January in Las Vegas every year becomes real. Well, it's going to be a little bit different this next January. But back in January, Lenovo announced the ThinkPad X1 Fold, and now it's a reality. This is the one with a foldable OLED screen. It's available for pre-order starting at $2,499. The Fold can be used as a large 13.3-inch tablet or propped up on an easel stand with a wireless keyboard, or configured as dual 9.6-inch screens, or partially folded as a 13-inch notebook, or even held like a book. The Fold comes with Windows 10 Home or Pro on 11th Gen Core i5 Intel processors with Wi-Fi 6, two USB-C ports, and a SIM card slot for optional 5G. All models come with 8 gigs of soldered RAM and from 256 gigs up to 1 terabyte of storage, along with a 50-watt battery. The ThinkPad X1 Fold weighs 2.2 pounds and has optional 5G support as well. Accessories include the aforementioned easel stand, a stylus called the Mod Pen, and a Bluetooth mini fold keyboard that can be used in laptop mode and stored on top of or inside the fold where it would wirelessly charge. Lenovo also announced the X1 Nano that weighs 907 grams or 1.99 pounds, you know, metric. It's lightest ThinkPad yet. It's got Intel 11th gen processors, Z graphics, and is certified as part of Intel's Evo platform. Comes with Windows 10 Pro or Ubuntu, Wi-Fi 6, optional 5G, Thunderbolt 4, 360-degree mic starting at $1,399 for pre-order now, available by the end of the year. Lenovo also announced a whole lot of other ThinkBooks, including the ThinkBook 15 Gen 2i with built-in wireless earbuds, the ThinkBook 4S Yoga 2-in-1, all arriving in October and November from $549 and up.
I want that X1 Fold. I'm probably not going to pay for it, but I really love the look of it. It looks great.
I agree. I'm like, this is cool, but what about it makes you want it?
It can do all those
things. In what form? Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I can use it like a 13-inch laptop when it's on the easel. I'd have to buy the easel, I guess. But or I can have it as a miniature laptop. I can fold it up. It's nice and slim. I can stick it in a bag. I can use it like a ThinkPad with a ThinkPad keyboard, with that wireless keyboard. It's just so gosh darn versatile.
That bezel, though. It's
the bezel, that bezel is what bothers you?
The bezel. Now, well, I mean, it doesn't look great. The thing is,
bezel haters.
You know the magnets, how do they work? Saying?
Yes.
I have the same one with foldables, except it's, what are they for?
I don't have an answer for you. They're just cool. They're cool. Listen.
I agree with that.
You complain about your bezels. I'll sit here on my Microsoft Duo going, I don't know what it's good for either, but I sure do enjoy using it. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Last week, we told you about Amazon's new cloud gaming service, Luna, which will soon be available in early access in the United States. As a refresher, the basic monthly subscription gives customers access to a channel called Luna Plus that has a library of games curated by Amazon, and other channels will be added to the service over time for an extra fee, starting with Ubisoft. They're going to be the first. The cloud gaming market is certainly young, but it's already got a lot of folks in it. Google Stadia, Microsoft Game Pass Ultimate, NVIDIA GeForce Now, Blade's Shadow PC, and more. So, how does Luna stand out from the crowd? Amazon has a few aces up its sleeve. That already makes it a fearsome contender even before launch. Patrick demanded we give him time to tell us what he thinks of it. Take it away, Patrick.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. It's essentially everything Stadia should have been, but by Amazon. And the weird thing is, we heard Amazon was working on a streaming game streaming service, cloud gaming platform, but didn't get any leaks. They just announced it in the middle of a million devices announcement. And they were like, oh, also this, and moved on, which was like, but this is a big deal. Maybe it's because I'm a gamer. But it has a lot of things. As you mentioned, subscription service, which I think is more appropriate for these kinds of services, cloud gaming. It's not to say that Stadia doesn't work for some people. I've heard from many who are saying, well, it's great for me. I love it. I love buying games individually, which perfect. But there are three things I think which are really interesting with Luna. First of all, it's based on a Windows platform, unlike Stadia, which is based on a proprietary, we think, Linux platform. The important part there is that it's going to be very easy for developers to port their games to Luna, unlike on Stadia, where it requires a lot of work. And of course, with a gaming platform, you need a lot of games to get people interested. So it should be a lot easier for Luna to get a bigger library. The other thing is that it has a progressive web app that works really well, apparently, according to the journalists, not just to Amazon itself. At least one journalist has tested it, and it works on iOS devices, which in a world where Apple is saying we don't want cloud gaming services in our app store means you can still be on iOS, on iPhone and Android, through the web, through the other platform that Apple supports, which is open. I'm certain that Google and Microsoft will also find a solution like this to get on the iOS platforms through the web, but Amazon has it as soon as they launch, apparently, when they will actually launch. And the last part is one thing that I haven't heard from anyone, actually. The label of the Luna Plus service is it gives you unlimited hours of play, which is an interesting way of phrasing it. If you have one option, which gives you unlimited hours of play, probably means there are other options which give you limited hours of play. That's not confirmed, but it stands to reason. And I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon offered the service for free for, let's say, a couple of hours a week to anyone, and also included, let's say, twice that or maybe 1 hour a day for 7 hours a week to Prime members. They already do something similar for Amazon Music and Amazon Prime Video, stuff like that. And then, of course, you can subscribe if you want unlimited hours of play. And that, again, is something that is a big advantage, I think, over a couple of the competitors. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about the progressive web app section of this, and I think the thing that's most surprising about that is that, to some people, is that Apple cooperated with Amazon to make this happen. And I like you, I'm like, when's Microsoft and Google going to get on that train? Because it seems like they're trying to pressure Apple into letting them into the App Store instead of doing what Amazon did, which was like, all right, what else we got? what other options do we have? But that unlimited hours of play, I hadn't even thought about. Like, that makes perfect sense to me that would be sort of a way to get people into Luna and then upsell them, like, hey, you pay the fee and you can play these as long as you want. That's super smart.
Yeah, it's imagine that is the problem. That's why I'm a little bit bullish on Stadia. That was the promise. And they're doing some things that are approaching this with a free demo of Immortals Phoenix Rising from Ubisoft. Ubisoft is everywhere, by the way. But Stadia is offering a free demo of that game probably in November. So they are kind of opening the doors and making that service available to everyone without even having to buy games or have a subscription. But that's the really interesting part of those services. You don't need a device you only need any device. You don't need a console or a powerful gaming PC. And offering a couple of hours to anyone through, you know, that service, that Luna, it makes complete sense.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Lots of gaming stories show up there all the time. You can submit the stories that you care about and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. All right, let's check in with our buddy Nate Langson, back with another text message involving a mystery.
Thanks, guys. Now, Britain solved a mystery this week about why a tiny little village here found that everyone who lived there's broadband would be knocked offline at exactly 7 a.m. every morning for more than a year. Residents and engineers had replaced cables and run tests, and they could not figure out what caused this to happen so regularly every single day for so long. And it turns out one unnamed resident was responsible for all of this, but they had no idea. You can hear all about that story and the cause on this week's text message by going to uktechshow.com and looking for episode 222, or just search TECH apostrophe S message in your podcast app.
It's a, even if you've heard about this already, it's a great telling of how this happened with a lot of details that I hadn't heard. So go check it out at text message. Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. This one comes from Big Jim, coming in from our Discord, who said, it's kind of interesting. Maersk Supply Service and Danish utility Ørsted have joined forces to test a prototype buoy that will act as both a mooring point and a charging station for vessels. The solution, developed by Maersk Supply Service, will be tested on one of Ørsted's offshore wind farms in 2021. That's the headline. Big Jim says, one of the biggest pollutants that vessels make while they're just sitting at anchor. It used to be that they would do this while at dock as well, but with the cold iron concept of basically running an extension cord from the pier to the vessel and then shutting down the engines, it supposedly reduced emissions overall for vessels by something like 30%. If they can do this while at anchor as well, it really helps clean the air goals. Couple this with the use of wind turbines, and it looks to be a win-win scenario, not to mention the addition of engine efficiency and emissions they put out in the last 10 years.
Thank you, Big Jim. Always on the logistics beat for us. So one of those cool things you get if you're in the Discord, stuff like that. Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, Big Jim. Also, shout out to patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Paul Thiessen, Ollie Sanjabi, and Scott Hepburn. Also, big thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us this fine Tuesday. Patrick, what's been going on in your world?
Oh, so much, and especially in the gaming space. I just put out today an episode of Pixels where I talk about everything that's happened in September, and good Lord, a lot has happened. Incredible things in the gaming space. If you want to have a summary of all of it, go look for Pixels on your podcast app, or just go to notpatrick.com and you'll find a link to whichever podcast app you use directly. And again, the show is called Pixels.
Real quickly, CPOTS50 in our Discord asked if there's a touch-free palm print reading from Amazon. And we should make that clear. This is touch-free. You don't put your palm on anything to scan it. You just hold it above the scanner. So this is a touchless technology. Thank you, CPOTS, for that question so we could clarify that. CPOTS is one of the amazing patrons that supports us at patreon.com/DTNS. We are finally seeing some of the financial fallout of the pandemic hitting folks. A lot of folks having to cancel because of financial reasons. So if you're out there listening to the ad-supported version of this show and you aren't hit hard, and you can afford a couple bucks a month, you can get an ad-free version of DTNS and some other perks, like Shannon Morse has a special Threatwire crosspost in the RSS feed for the patrons today. Just go check it out, patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com, and we love your feedback, so please keep it coming. Makes me happy every morning. We're also live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more and show up. dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Be there tomorrow for Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You have enjoyed this program.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.